It's not to kill the microorganisms. In fact, it's to create an inhospitable environment for them to live in. So you, when you open the pores of the skin, basically the capillary beds, when they release that heat from the surface, that's when these microorganisms cannot live anymore because the environment is not suitable.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Journey to Wellness and Beyond.
Hi, everyone. How are you all doing?
Today, we are going to speak about a really interesting topic and a very misunderstood topic.
Though at the root of this topic, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But I think it's so misunderstood or it's sort of misbehaved with.
Exactly. And because we don't understand it completely, we tend to take the wrong decisions.
That's right.
So in today's episode, we'll clarify everything you need to know about fever. Yeah. And we'll also bust the myths, the very popular myth that it has to be dealt in a certain way because it's seen as the devil, which actually it isn't. So with that, let's get started. The first thing I'd like to say is that a fever is a healthy response. And it's a healthy response to the presence of pathogens and antigens in the body, right? And it's normal and it's natural. A fever is not a disease in and of itself, rather an intelligent response. And a lot of people really get freaked out by fever, but, you know, especially when the temperatures start reaching between 102 and 104 Fahrenheit. But the thing is, that's a good thing. And that's what we're going to look at today. So what happens is when the body reaches these temperatures, it's a way to optimize its antibodies and white blood cell production, like about 20% more.
It's 20 times.
20 times more, sorry. And it basically enhances our detoxification and circulation, which you'll learn why. And so traditionally in traditional medicine, has always treated fever and other diseases by mostly opening, and she knows this better than me, by opening and closing the
peripheral vents
of the body, right? And so this is kind of associated with sweat pores and sebaceous glands and capillaries. So for the above reasons, I just mentioned, diaphoretics or sweating remedies and sweat lodges are the standard treatment of traditional medicine of fever. And it's not really surprising because even in today's time, they say that if you're having a fever or if you've just been in a fever, out of a fever, it's good to have some steam, right?
Yeah. It's good to take some steam inhalation.
Yeah, and generally people do that. Not for the whole body, at least just for the face.
Yeah, I mean, just you're so congested, right? Yeah. You have the head cold and all, along with the fever.
Yeah.
So even the great apostle of the olden times, Samuel Thompson, around 1700s to 1800s, he actually developed this deep understanding about how the body heals itself, self-regulates itself with the help of heat, fluids, and elimination.
Right.
And therefore, he used to also use red baths, as you just already mentioned, to cure a fever.
Right.
And also using some herbs by heating up the stomach, so to remove the canker, the toxicity, the excess mucus that's formed in the stomach, that's not letting the warmth to be there in the core.
And most of these herbs acted more as things that control the functions of the body.
Exactly. Yeah. And in fact, the word fever is, in Latin, it's called favere, which means to warm. And a fever is always accompanied with an illness. And that's a normal phenomenon, I would say, of the thermoregulation. And that's the word we actually use for regulating the temperature of the body. It's called thermoregulation, where it's self-produced by the body. But it should definitely be distinguished with hyperthermia, where an elevated body temperature can happen because of external thermal factors, which can actually overwhelm the body's ability to self-regulate.
So basically you're saying that when the temperatures go too high.
Yeah.
That's what you mentioned.
But with hyperthermia, with external forces being something like hypothyroidism.
Yeah.
Or exercise induced, for example. Or something that's environmental,
right?
As well.
Yeah.
Right. So, for example, on a very hot sunny day, mm-hmm. even that can be a form of a hyperthermia.
Right.
Your body's temperatures increase to a...
In short, hypothermia doesn't always have to be that you are suffering from a fever, which is, in a way, the body's process of regulating its function so that it can deal with whatever infection it has, right?
Yeah.
So hypothermia can also be when, after you work out, of course, you're completely warm. Your temperature is too high.
Yeah.
And even if you're walking under the sun or in a desert, of course, which is highly unlikely. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the same case.
Exactly.
So hypothermia is not a good thing. It's just a function, right?
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just a function of the body.
That's
okay.
True.
So, okay. Before we just go on discussing this further, now, since let's first try and provide people the information of why fever is good, like the benefits of fever.
Yeah. I mean, fever is actually, it's not to kill the microorganisms. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's to create an inhospitable environment for them to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So when you open the pores of the skin, basically the capillary beds, when they release that heat mm-hmm. from the surface, that's when these microorganisms cannot live anymore because the environment is not suitable.
Right.
And also, it's not just that one thing. It also helps to stimulate a lot of circulation with fever. There's a lot of blood circulation that's going around because then a lot of blood and the lymph flow, providing lymphocytes and immunoglobulins, which is required to fight the
cause
of infection.
Because blood is also a way of transporting nutrients, minerals, and other
oxygen.
And even other, like our cells, white blood cells,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, immunocompetence. Yeah.
That's why the blood flow is increased during this period.
And also with fever, it also enhances the removal of these infected cells
mm-hmm.
or spent cells, and which is again processed by your liver, your spleen, and the lymph nodes.
Basically, detoxification.
Yeah. And also it helps to promote and antibodies, interleukin, interferon, and other immunomodulators in the process,
right?
Which is again fighting the infection.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very important point. It actually reduces trace minerals like iron. Now, why would that be? Because then again,
The pathogens and the infections, they feed off iron.
That's true.
That's why it has to reduce it.
Imagine our body is so intelligent, it knows what to do when. And
I think that's also the reason why people feel weak.
That's true. So maybe if a person is anemic, they have to find the root cause, there is some infection.
Again, we are repeating that.
Yeah.
So the problem is not low iron. Low iron is a symptom. You have to get to why there is low iron, which is generally an infection of some kind. So in that case, it's necessary to tackle with that issue.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, and also fever is directly antimicrobial.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps to fight off these bacteria, viruses, fungi at these elevated temperatures.
Right. And so we already know infections and pathogenic foreign invaders is one of the causes of fever. What are some of the other causes of fever?
Other causes would be something like hematologic diseases or like sickle cell.
Like blood-related diseases.
Exactly. Or some chemical poisoning.
toxicity.
Heavy toxicity, and even collagen vascular conditions like autoimmunity, spondylitis, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus, for example, plus also neoplasms.
Neoplasms, right.
And as well as central nervous system disease, which is again affecting your thermoregulation.
Yeah. But if you have a fever, you don't need to freak out thinking that you have all those problems.
These are just the many causes. But obviously, as you said, infection, which could be...
That's the most common cause.
Yeah,
so
the common one.
Don't freak out if you have a fever. Okay, just reminding you once again.
Totally.
Okay, so with that, what are the stages of fever? Like, how does it progress?
Yeah, I mean, like, a fever is actually triggered by the hypothalamus because it gets that signal from the immune system to close the pores of the skin and increase the set point of our internal temperature.
The body doesn't lose heat. It wants to retain. Because with high heat, the infection won't be able to survive.
Yeah, exactly. And also, since our body's internal temperature is always at 98.6, but in many cases, during a fever, it can go up and down. In fact, it can fluctuate throughout the day. It can go up till 99, or it can go down till 96.
96, fine, by the
way. Yeah. And so it's always good to know that our temperatures fluctuate, mm-hmm. and it's different from person to person.
Right.
But now let's take a look at the febrile process, wherein we have these five primary stages.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to, it's not one of the stages, but I think it's the one that I'm going to talk about. It's like a zero stage where you cannot mount a fever.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, your immune system is, you know, trying to create a response, but it's unable to do so. And because of that, even though, you know, you have those symptoms like a sore throat or you feel malaise or like a headache, I would say that actually just go and induce the fever by having some hot ginger tea or taking a hot bath.
Right.
Because then again, if you're not able to mount a fever,
that's a problem.
Yeah, you increase the mortality
percentage.
So again, it's not to scare you all. It's just to explain that whenever you're feeling down, try to treat it with something hot.
So if the fever is not being induced, that's just a sign that something's amiss. The body is not able to self-regulate its functions.
Exactly.
The immune system especially.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's go to the stage one. During this stage of fever, the hypothalamus has received the signal from the immune system,
mm-hmm.
okay, about this invading pathogen, and it wants to raise the set point of our body temperature, which it does up until like to a point of 102.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once it reaches there, now that's the hypothalamic temperature, that's the set point. But our body's internal temperature has not yet changed. In that case, the person would feel cold, but the pores of the skin are closed and the blood is shunted from the periphery to the core of the body in order to warm it up. And you might look pale during that time.
Got it. So that's exact. That's how it works. So when... this is the process of the fever is already ongoing, but the fever hasn't mounted yet. And first we start feeling cold, right?
Yeah. So, but now it did. It did because now the hypothalamic has...
But it's like the furnace is starting to...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But the physiology... Biologically, we are not doing so.
Hmm.
But only at the hypothalamic...
Only level, it's starting.
It started over there. So, the body is trying to... Catch up,
right.
Yeah. So, and then the hypothalamus also will initiate a shivering response because a lot of friction can also create warmth.
Right.
So, and plus by doing this, by having the shivering response, you can actually increase your metabolism by 20%. So that it generates heat.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And at this stage, we would be using herbs which are stimulant diaphoretics, which I will be talking about later.
Okay. So just summarizing stage one, this is when the body realizes that there's an invader.
Yes.
A pathogen.
Yeah.
And that's when the hypothalamus kicks in and starts heating up the, it starts the process of the fever.
Yes.
By getting the heat up.
Yeah.
But we don't feel it yet.
And shunting the pores of the raw skin.
Shunting the pores
of
the skin.
That's very important.
And we don't feel it yet because, and we are feeling cold.
Yeah.
And the body starts shivering.
Yes.
And that's stage one.
That's stage one. Okay. Yes.
So let's see what happens in stage two.
Yeah. Now, once the body, once we reach the stage two,
mm-hmm.
now the hypothalamic set point is reached mm-hmm. at this stage. So physiologically, also our temperatures are rising to that point. As mentioned also before, 102 to 104 is considered a good healthy range of fever. And at this point, you will feel warm. The skin is red. You'll feel flushed, dry. That's also because the blood is shunted away from the core to the periphery.
Extremities.
Yeah.
Mm.
So the body is now trying to cool itself. Now, due to there's a lot of rapid circulation. The pulse is rapid. It's high. It's bounding. And the temperatures above 99.5
mm-hmm.
actually shunts even our digestive system.
And I think it's in the stage two, where we shouldn't have much food, and we don't even feel like having much food.
And that's true. That's true because that's body's own innate response that it doesn't want to have because it just wants to tackle the infection.
So it doesn't want to distract itself by switching on the digestion.
Yes.
So it's better to starve a fever.
Yes.
And I think stage two is when the fever actually onsets.
Yes. So it's like fast, it's an old adage, like fast a fever, nourish a cold.
Hmm.
Now, if you eat during this time, it's like you're moving your vital force away from fighting the infection to actually digesting food. And
that's
we don't want that.
That's hard for the immune system.
Exactly. And in that process, the immune system also will strip away the amino acids from the muscles.
Yeah. That's why you come off to be, after the fever, you are like, oh, I'm weak. And oh, I did my workouts and suddenly some of my gains I've lost overnight.
But then again, that's happening because your digestion is not proper. So you're not getting enough nutrition. Plus, you don't want to eat on top of
that. So I think in that case, bone broth and stuff like this would be really beneficial.
Yes, of
course. Or if for vegetarians, then maybe vegetable soups.
Yeah.
Mixed vegetable soup. Just like something that's easy.
Easy to gulp it down.
It's liquid.
Yeah, it's so liquid.
So, okay, to summarize this, stage two is when the temperature is actually...
Has reached
its the point where it needs to reach to tackle the parasite.
Exactly.
And this is
the infection.
And generally, it's very normal, natural to not feel like eating, having anything.
Yeah.
And that's completely all right. And you should listen to your intuition, your body. And that's when you should provide your body with nutrients to support it, the immune system, not by eating per se, but by having soups.
Yeah. And also hydrating yourself.
And hydrating is very important. Right?
Very, very important.
Remember the detoxification we spoke about.
Yeah,
and also a bit of the,
and also using relaxing diaphoretics again, which I would be mentioning below.
All right,
and also taking bath in tepid water, not piping hot.
Okay,
because then now your body is trying to remove the heat that is trapped, and if you're using hot water, so you're actually pushing that heat further down into the body.
Right, and that's not a good idea.
No, that's not. Now, the next stage we come here where the hypothalamus has finally reduced its set point back to the standard body temperature. And though the body itself is still at a very high temperature, now it's like the opposite. Now the body is at a high temperature and the hypothalamus has reduced its set point.
Yeah.
So the body is again trying to catch up. So the person would actually feel very hot. And this is the point where we actually break the fever and we induce the sweat.
Exactly. So it's
and oftentimes the thing is that a fever would be cycling between stage two and stage three.
Okay, till the pathogen is not wiped off.
Exactly. So here also what we need is the person to just rest pretty well, take care of yourself, have your electrolytes, have your hydration up during this time, and please fast until the body temperature hasn't reached 99. It's really important. Because once it reaches below 99, then you would actually feel more hungry.
Exactly. So it's not like you need to keep a track. You just know when you need to eat because the body will tell you so.
Yeah. And then the last one is stage 4. In this one, it's the recovery period. And after a fever, obviously. And it lasts exactly the same amount of time the fever lasted. So here, again, you have to continue your rest therapy. I would say, like, take 14 days off. I know it's crazy. Please just, it's important for your body to do so. It's important to take rest, to take that mindful break that your body has put on you.
Exactly. And remember this, if you are not doing that, then you are running the risk of an infection turning into a chronic infection. And that is a recipe for disaster and chronic diseases.
Yeah. So in stage 4 again, we would be using alternative herbs, which again helps with the elimination of all the 5 channels of our body.
Right.
And please don't do any other strenuous activity.
Yeah, just rest, relax.
Just rest and keep yourself hydrated and have your food. Astragalus is also very nice at this stage. But yeah, I can't stop myself from speaking about herbs at any point, any which ways.
In fact, our ancestors, like even my mom and of course my grandmother must have told me that even breathing too much is a strain on the body. Because of course, you're using up energy if you're eating a lot, right? You're using a lot of energy.
Brain power.
Yeah. Energy, spending energy is not just in a physical form. It's also when you're using it's mental energy as well.
Yeah, mental, physical, and emotional.
Yeah.
They all three are very important when it comes to energy. Anyways, so we have now at 104, it's actually a pretty high fever. But then again, it's a healthy range of that fever. It's a healthy working fever. The influenza virus, it dies at 99 degrees. And gonococcus dies at 104. Oh, and polio virus replication also is reduced at this temperature.
That's the reason why the body goes to such high temperatures, and generally it leaves the person confused as to why the body is trying to kill.
Exactly. And
itself.
I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think when the babies also get vaccinated, so they also have a high fever.
Yeah, they are generally exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So that's required. We need the
high fever. But let's not talk about that because, you know, they just might remove us from mainstream platforms.
Yeah. Okay. Any which ways. So dangerously high fevers are those which reach above 104.
Mm-hmm.
Because at 106, there is a pneumococcus. And there's also, you know, it's killing pneumococcus or even spirochetes. But there's also a possibility of a seizure happening.
So temperatures above 104 Fahrenheit is generally dangerous, right?
Yes. Yeah. And at 108 to 110, it's almost like brain damage. Because then again, you're denaturing the proteins and you're killing your healthy cells at that stage. So again, I would reiterate this. Please keep hydrating yourself with a lot of water and electrolytes. And especially it's important for young children, elderly, and patients which are notably weak.
Right.
And as mentioned previously, suppressing fever with the use of antipyretics, which are or febrifuge, which are herbs which reduce fever, or NSAIDs, aspirin or acetaminophen. If you're using these, the length of the infection increases in the body. And so I think, again, you know, you just need to follow the signs of your body.
Right.
Naturally. So I would also now talk about things like the stimulant diuretics that I was discussing before. The first one being cayenne pepper, something as simple as that. Like, we need home remedies at stage one. We don't need to go very esoteric.
So cayenne pepper is generally for stage one.
Yes, exactly. So it's because it's one of the best circulatory stimulant remedies. It's kindling the heat in the central core so that it pushes the blood out to the periphery. And it helps to dilate the peripheral capillary beds so that the blood reaches the surface of the skin and then you can induce a sweat.
Got it.
Yeah. So taking the powder mixed in with water, or you can also use it as a tincture in hot water.
Right.
Yeah. The other one also being yarrow, which is Achillea millefolium. Now, this remedy is actually my favorite because it helps with treating the fever primarily because it has a broad spectrum of actions. And it is slightly a relaxant as well as a stimulant because it's used in either stage one and stage two. So it again, it's a master of the blood. So it increases the circulation of the blood as well as it has antimicrobial properties and being a stimulant to the immune system as well.
So it's boosting the immune system's strength.
Exactly.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. And the last one, I would say, this is again a kitchen remedy. It's thyme and oregano. Something as simple as your pizza seasoning. So, and of course, you know, these guys, they have aromatic essential oils and they are pungent and warming and diffusive in nature. So therefore, again, it's increasing the circulation and they are also antimicrobial. So it's also fighting against the bacteria or the virus or the fungus or chlamydia, whatever it is.
So basically, yarrow, thyme and oregano, they are just supporting the immune system.
Exactly.
And that's what
and they are stimulant diuretics. That means they induce or sweat.
That's a good thing as well because we don't want the temperature to go too high.
Exactly.
So it's good in modulating as well.
Yeah, perfect. And then the next category is the relaxing diuretics that I was again mentioning for stage two. The first one being its bone set. It's really specific for high fever with a significant amount of tension, to the point where the deep-seated pain you feel in your muscles and bones. So also remember here that the immune system was stripping the amino acids.
Right.
From the
muscles.
Yes, exactly. So because it wants to build more erythrocytes and other
components.
Yeah. So it was traditionally used for intermittent or malarial fever with alternating fever and chills. So especially when one feels a chill entering their system, that won't go away and would persist for a long time. So that's when we use bone set. The next one being, I think everyone's heard of this. It's a quintessential herb for the fever, which is elderflower.
Oh, yeah. That's a popular one.
So it's actually indicated in cases where the skin is very hot, it's red, it's dry, and also the pulse is a bit rapid. And the tea really helps to promote a rapid perspiration and also relax the tension in the muscles and mind.
Right.
So that you can be at peace and you can go to sleep. So it's actually very much indicated for kids because it's a bit palliative in that way. And they can obviously, you can combine it with peppermint or lemon balm. That's really cool. The next one being is blue verbane. And again, I think this is also for intense muscular skeletal tension, especially around the neck and the shoulders. Because of that, you can't go to sleep. And this had happened to us during COVID.
Oh, yes.
So we did utilize blue verbane to our advantage. And I can't recommend it enough. It was just absolutely fantastic.
It was amazing. I can vouch for it.
Yeah, and especially it's for people who are those type A personality go-getters.
Mm.
So it's amazing for being to keep you at in a restful manner.
Right. Okay, so we are actually running out of time now.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like to add before we...
No, I think I pretty much covered the bases with fever. But obviously, we can always go down the rabbit hole and start discussing the many remedies that I have. But I think we have to be sensitive to the time.
Right. So we hope that you enjoyed and got value out of this episode. And if you did, please remember to like and subscribe. And as always, we are always here to help you all. So you can always work with us one-on-one. Our prices are explicitly mentioned on our websites. And so get in touch if you need us. Our websites, the links to our websites are provided in the description.
And also subscribing to our newsletter.
Every Sunday. It's called ePostcard. As always, links in the description. Yeah. So guys, we hope that you all have an amazing weekend. And we'll be seeing you all next week. Until then, be happy. Be happy. Take care.
Take care.